Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I thank God for your faithfulness to this broadcast, and I thank God for your faithfulness to Him and how we are to continue to seek Him, crave Him, thirst for Him, and always be a witness for Him is my prayer. And, of course, the prayer of this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio. And I pray that you've had a blessed and wonderful day today, just in the richness of God's work and the richness of His love, that you've just sat a little aside some time to just think about Him or sing about Him or just ponder on His word. At some point in time of your day, maybe just lifting up prayers to Him and continued communication with Him. But most of all, thank you for your faithfulness and thank you for being with me on this broadcast, Mission from the Heart. Now, we are going to be ready again for part three in this beautiful, beautiful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. And Brother Harold is going to be bringing this part three. And I encourage you to get your Bible and be ready for the movement of Scripture and just come ready with your necessary pen, pencil, paper so that you can listen with intensity, because it's going to be packed full of Scripture. And I just encourage you to stick with us as we journey through this part three of As Jesus Is, So Are We. So listen to this. The last application of God's divine makeup of the believer is Jesus is. So are we. As I mentioned, this is the last application of God's divine makeup of the believer. As Jesus is, so are we. That is praiseworthy to know with confidence. And I have to repeat myself, to know with confidence that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus Christ might live His life through us. Now, that's a praiseworthy notion, that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus is means you love God the Father with your total body, inside and out, and love others as you love yourself. Now, that's according to Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. Read it for yourself. The working of the Holy Spirit allows you to live out before others a life of love and righteousness. You are His witnesses. Don't forget that. You are His witnesses. So I'm going to have Minister Harold Copeland go ahead and just do what he does best, and that's continue to bring this wonderful lesson, God's divine makeup of the believer. So if you would, Brother Harold, go ahead, and we are ready to continue in this beautiful journey.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hello, I am Minister Harold Copeland, and again, I will be your guest speaker. I would like to welcome you to Mission from the Heart Radio. And I would like to thank our Lord and our God for the opportunity to be part of this fellowship. We will continue our series on God's divine makeup for the believer. And shortly, we will start part three, which is, as Jesus is, so are you. But I would like to recap some of the spiritual revelations and spiritual truths that was released through the revelation knowledge of Holy Spirit in part one and part two A and B. And we're going to move forward in some scriptures because we want to release faith. Somebody say release faith. We want to release faith to believe. Somebody say to believe. Yes. We want to release faith to believe these truths as they come forward. Because if we don't believe the truth, then the word of God can't work for us. So we're going to release that faith tonight. Let's begin with Romans chapter number 10, verse 17.
Romans 10:17 reads this way. And I have that for you. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ.
Yes. So we're releasing faith. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. And as we break the word just down, we get justified. So what we have is those that are justified as righteous in the sight of the Lord shall live by faith. Now we're going to break justified down just a little bit more. And we move on to say that as a believer, we stand in the presence of God, justified, just as if we haven't committed one sin. The Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. And we live by faith. Our God is a God of faith. The Bible tells us that He called those things that be not as though they were. In the word say, he that cometh to our God must believe, that's faith, that he is God and he is a rewarder of those who diligently, somebody say diligently, diligently seek him. But the word says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we must have faith to interact and communicate with our God. How do we get this faith? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's in the word. Faith cometh by hearing. It's by hearing. It's not by having heard. I heard it before, but it's by hearing. And what hearing is, with the ing, it's ongoing. It's hearing it over and hearing it over and hearing it over and hearing it over. Now, we must be careful what we are listening to because we have to hear the right thing. And it's a hearing by the word of God. So we have to hear the word of God to get faith. And we have to hear it over and over and over. Because when we use that process, what we do is we get the word deep down in our spirit, man. Amen. And we come one with that word. and that word come one with us. And we're going to explain that in detail as we move on. Now, part one of the series, God Divine Makeup for the Believer, we focus on spirit, soul, and body. And that came out of our launch pad scripture. It was 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 23. We're going to read that.
All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And the truth that we pulled out of that was God divine makeup for the believer. We are spirits. We have a soul. And we live in a physical body that we call our earth suit that carries us while we are down here on the earth. We're just recapping to take us into as Jesus is, so are you. So we went to the original creation of the original man, and we looked and observed how God designed him. So let's read Genesis chapter number 2, verse 7.
Genesis 2, 7. Read this one. 2:7 is, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being.
Amen. And the truth that we pulled out of that was the dust of the ground became Adam's body. The breath of life became Adam's spirit. And the power that was in Adam's spirit was so strong that it made Adam's soul come alive. And Adam became a living soul. And we talked about that power earlier. Minister Smith talked about that power. And we want to look at the power that we carry, the power that God deposited on the inside of us once we became a believer. So that's just Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 18 through 20.
Ephesians 1, starting at verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That the power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realm.
Amen. Now, that's where we're going with our faith. It's come by hearing and hearing and hearing to get the word deep down in us. Because look what happens. The eyes of our understanding come open. He's not talking about our physical eyes. He's speaking of the eyes of our spirit, man. That they be enlightened, that we begin to see with our spirit. And he said the riches of the inheritance. God made a great investment in us. And Minister Smith said earlier, Christ living in us. That's the glory, that inheritance that we have on the inside. And he said that you may know. He's not speaking of knowing in your mind or in your head or in your thoughts. But we call it the knower. When you grab something supernatural and you come one with it in your heart is your knower. And you know that you know that you know that you know that you know. You know that a truth is real because you have come one with that truth. Now, King James say, exceeding greatness. You know, great power is great power, but God's power exceeds greatness. And that's the power that he has deposited in our spirit man. Notice that power is not in our souls, and it's not in our bodies, but that power is in our spirit. And that's one of the reasons we have to come one with spirit, soul, and body, that we can come one with the power that God has invested in our spirit man. Like Jesus said, that we may be about our Father's business. And they asked him, they said, what is the Father's business? And he said, to destroy the works of the devil. And God has empowered us to be about his business. So as we move on, we see in Genesis, we clearly see that Adam was a spirit. He had a soul. He lived in a body, which we call his earth suit, that carried him while he was down here on earth. Now, in part 2A, that was walking in the spirit, A. And we released the truth that we quickly had to support it with scripture, because we said that when God saved us, even though we three parts, he only saved one third of us. He only saved our spirit. And he did not save our souls, and he did not save our physical bodies. And that's very important that we grab this truth and we just tear up the religious doctrines. Because I know you heard somebody say, I'm a soul winner. You know, and from this truth, we find out that soul salvation is a person that's already a Christian and their mind has got tattered with thoughts of the world and depression, and they have to clean their mind up with the word of God. That's soul salvation. So we look at 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, verse 17, and I just love this scripture.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here.
Amen. And that scripture only points to our spirit man. After that initial salvation, our spirit man is in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And all things are God. Perfect. In our spirit man, not speaking of our souls, not speaking of our bodies. Now we're going to talk about the soul and the body, then we're going to move on to part 2B. Let's look at Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 39.
Hebrews 10, 39. And but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved.
Yes. So these are believers he was talking to. They already received the spirit salvation. And he was telling them, we got to move forward. We can't go backwards. And if we believe going forward, we're going to receive our soul salvation. James chapter number 1, verse 21.
James 1, verse 21. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. I'm sorry, that's 22. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And then, of course, verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.
Yes. Again, he's speaking to believers. And these believers had filth and moral evil in them. And they were saved. But he said, you got to move forward. And you got to get planted in the Word of God. And King James called it engrafted. Engrafted in the Word of God. Then you could save your soul. Man, so that soul didn't get saved at the beginning. So it reminds me, from my hometown, we have a tourist attraction. I'm from Georgia, and we have a tourist attraction. And it's a tree. And the tree is called the Big Oak. Now, the Big Oak is 337 years old. And the first time I visited the Big Oak, I went on a field trip. I was in the third grade, and I saw the Big Oak. But today, the Big Oak looked the same as it looked when I was in the third grade. And the way they make that happen is when the branches and the leaves on the Big Oak begin to wither and fall off, what they do is they just cut them off the Big Oak. And they come with fresh branches and fresh leaves. And the key word is the word we're going for, engraft. And they engraft those limbs and engraft those branches in the Big Oak. And they do it in such a way that the new branches come one with the Big Oak, and the Big Oak come one with the new branches, and look like they've been there all the time. And graft. And that's why we have to get the word deep down in our spirit, man. Because it's engrafted into our spirit, man. And that word comes one with our spirit, man. And we come one with the word. And we begin to look like that word. And that word began to look like us. And we began to speak like that word. And that word began to speak like us. And we began to sound like heaven. And God began to call us sons and children of heaven. Let's go to Joshua chapter number 1, verse 8.
Joshua 1, verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
And those the instructions that God gave Joshua, Joshua was getting ready to replace one of the mightiest warriors that ever lived on this earth, Moses. And Joshua was getting ready to take his position. And God was telling him the only way you can do it is you got to get that word engrafted on the inside of you. And the way you get it engrafted, keep speaking it. Don't stop speaking it. And he said, meditate. Now, meditating, that's my finest union with the word. I love meditation. And meditation is, you take your favorite scripture and you ponder it and you savor it and you just say it over and just let it get deeper and deeper and deeper on the inside of you. And you come one with it. And when you come one with it, he told Joshua, you're going to prosper and you're going to have good success. And then you'll be able to walk like that word, the word that engrafted in you. You can walk, we can walk in the direction of that word. Let's go 3 John 2, and we're about to end this one.
3 John 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well.
Amen. They already saved. And he said, I need you to prosper. I need you to be in health. And I need you to get your soul well. And I need to get your soul to prosper. We have to work it out. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 9.
1 Peter 1, verse 9. And it reads this way. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Amen. So the end result, that's at the end. The end result of faith is the salvation of the soul, in layman's terms, getting the soul saved. So since there's an end, there's got to be a beginning. So the beginning of our faith is the salvation of our spirit. And as we get the salvation of our spirit, we move in the direction toward the end to receive the salvation of our soul. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we just want to talk about the salvation of the spirit man. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8.
Ephesians 2, 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God.
Amen. So, the spirit of salvation had nothing to do with us. We received the spirit of salvation by grace, and grace means unmerited favor, and unmerited favor means unearned. Man, we didn't earn it. And it's by faith, not in what we've done, but we receive it by faith in what Jesus Christ done for us. And even though we wasn't worthy of it and we wasn't deserving of it, God gave it to us as a gift. We didn't do anything to earn our spirit salvation. All we had to do is believe confess and receive what Jesus done for us. It's a wonderful gift of love from our Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter number 2, verse 12.
Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Praise God. So, the pastor was telling them, don't do it while I'm present. I know you're saved. You received that free gift of your spirit salvation by faith in what Jesus done for you. And our loving Father, through his loving heart, gave you the gift. Now you got to work it out. I got to leave. Don't stop working when I leave. Because if you start working, you won't receive that soul salvation. He said, do it with fear and trembling, that I got to get my soul lined up to the miracle that God took place in my spirit, man. And that's basically what soul salvation is. Getting the mind to agree with the miracle that God has placed in your born-again spirit. Praise God. So we showed that in the initial salvation, our spirit man got saved, and God did it because he loved us, and he gave it to us as a gift. But there's a beginning with God. That one was free. But there's a going on with God. And as we go on with God, now we got to do some work to get our minds to line up with the miracle on the inside. Okay, we're moving on to part 2B, which is also walking in the Spirit. And we're going to use Galatians chapter number 5, verse 16 to open that up for us.
Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Praise God. Now, the command is walk in the Spirit. But let's go to the end of that. The desires of the flesh. Notice, he's speaking to believers. Born again, spirit is saved. But it says that they can still desire the flesh. So let's identify what the flesh is in a believer. The flesh in a believer is every thought that's in the believer's mind that's still lined up to his or her old way or to our old ways. Every thought that's operating in the mind that is part of our old man. And we can go to the physical body. Every time we allow, as believers, our physical body to be moved by our five senses, what we can touch, taste, hear, see, or smell, we're in the flesh. Because God didn't tell us to walk by five senses. He said walk by faith. So when we walk in our five senses, we're in the flesh. And when we walk in our unrenewed mind, we're in the flesh. So God also, he wants us to walk in the Spirit. Now, clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, there were three tangible parts. In spirit, soul, and body. All three tangible. So if they're tangible, that means that we can come one with it. So we can actually come one with our spirit man on the inside of us and begin to operate out of that spirit. Until the Holy Spirit teaches us how to do it, we just walk according to what the words say. We just be obedient to what the words say. And as long as we keep walking obedient, oh, Holy Spirit is going to open our eyes and he's going to show us the spiritual being that's on the inside of us. And that's how we walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22 and 23, a beautiful scripture. Galatians 5, 22 and 23.
Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Amen. And that is what our lovely, loving Father had placed on the inside of us. And the fruit of the Spirit anchors us against anything outside of us that would try to move us out of the Spirit. That love is the agape, the unconditional love of God. That's what God bestows upon us 24 hours a day. So if somebody outside of you don't love you, all we have to do is go into our spirit man and begin to tap into the unconditional love that God has placed on the inside of us. We have a supernatural joy that's unspeakable. And that joy gives us strength in our weakness. So when we are weak, we just look at our spirit man. And there's a peace in the midst of every circumstance, in the midst of the storm, in the spirit man, we have a supernatural peace that anchors us and holds us 24/7. And yes, God been long-suffering with us. He's a gentle God. He's a good God. Even faith comes with the fruit of the Spirit. That's a supernatural faith. We don't have to conjure up our own faith and try to make it work. All we do is go in our spirit man and release the faith that God has placed in us. For the Word of God tells us that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And he's a meek and temperance God, which is self-control. And we need self-control in this walk. Now, the fruit of the Spirit are treasures that God has buried in us. And along with that, God's abundance power, and we talked about that power earlier, is on the inside of us. And that's why it's imperative that we use the Word of God and come one with our spirit man. Because that spirit man, as we get ready to enter into there, it's like Jesus Christ himself. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 7.
2 Corinthians 4 and 7. But we have the treasures, or we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us.
Amen. So there are treasures. And that translation said, in this clay. And King James said, in the earthly vessels. So there's treasures on the inside of us. Amen. And the greatness of God's power is on the inside of us. But also the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance is in there. So, and the Bible used the term, know ye not that you have heavenly treasures buried in your earthly vessel, heavenly treasures. And I always use this example, and it's hypothetical, but it's going to take us where we need to go. If I buried $10 million in your backyard and an X marked the spot, and I give you my word, I say, hey, I put buried $10 million in your backyard, X marked the spot, it's yours. All you have to do is dig it and get it out. Now, if you don't believe my word and you just look by sight, you can't see the money because it's buried. So you're not going to dig for it. But if you believe my word, you begin to dig. If you believe my word, even if you use a spoon and don't stop digging, you're going to hit pay dirt. And if you use a shovel, you're going to get there quicker than a spoon. But you can go out to Home Depot and rent a bike hole, and if you use a bike hole, you're going to get that payday because you believe my word. Well, God's word just told us that we have heavenly treasures buried on the inside of us. And anything buried, in order for us to use it, we have to dig it out. If we don't dig it out, we can't use it. So if we don't believe God's word, then we will not start digging in our spirit man to pull the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the justice, the goodness, the faith, the supernatural power of God, the healing, the deliverance. We won't dig. But if we believe God's word, then we'll begin to dig in our spirit man to pull those heavenly treasures. That's what they call them. They say they're heavenly treasures. And we'll begin to dig to pull them out. And we don't need a shovel or a bike hole. Man, we dig it out with a praise. We dig it out through worship. We dig it out through reading the word of God. We dig it out through Bible study. We dig it out just missing a meal and a fast. We dig it out praying without ceasing. We dig it out by singing to God. We dig it out by testifying how good God is. We dig it out by lifting up our mighty God and telling somebody how great God we are. And once we dig them out, we can begin to walk in that love, walk in that joy, walk in that peace. No matter what's going on in our life, we can begin to be long-suffering with someone that been tormenting us for years, but we stand in the unconditional love of God with them. We learn to be gentle and good just like our Father. And we learn to have self-control that we can walk in the Spirit and not have to mind the lust of the flesh. Glory to God. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 5, verses 17 and 18.
Galatians 5, 17 and 18. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Amen. And see, that's the warfare that we are in as believers. It's not a red devil with a pitfall. It's the flesh warring against the spirit. And we talked about what that flesh is, the unrenewed mind. That's why it's imperative that we work out that soul salvation. And it's the body not operating in faith, but going by what it can touch, taste, or see, or smell, or feel. Moving in the five senses. In the spirit, love God. In the spirit, want to go and trust God and walk after God. But the flesh, I want to follow my mind. I want to follow my five senses. And that's the warfare of the believer. And that's why we have to, as believers, we have to renew our minds. And he said, with fear and trembling. And that get our minds lined up to the miracle man, that beautiful miracle that's on the inside of our spirit. And once we do that, then we can freely walk and be led by the Spirit of the living God. And we'll step into a journey. We might as well buckle up, get ready to enter into a journey that God will blow our minds, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you, Lord. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 25.
Galatians 5:25.
Yes.
And it reads this way. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Amen. And that's where our victory is, in the warfare. We make up in our minds, God, I'm going your way. And God, there is no other way for me. The old way don't work. The old way was trying to destroy me. The old way was trying to set me up. But God, now you have showed me the truth. And you showed me that there is only one way. And there is only one truth. And there is only one life, and that's the way of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way to go. And God, I choose to make the decision to live that way and walk in that way, no matter what it takes, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're in John chapter number 4, verse
24. Starting in 24. And I'm reading this out of the NIV translation. And it says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen. The most important word in that scripture is M-U-S-T, must. Must worship him in spirit. So that just eliminates two parts of us that can't worship him. We can't worship him in our souls. We can't worship God in our physical bodies. Because God is a spirit, we have to communicate with him spirit to spirit. And that's the way he communicates with us spirit to spirit. And whatever he tells our spirit, and we receive it, then we have to take it up to our minds and our souls and renew our minds and our souls to that reality, that truth, that revelation that God has given us. So the only way we can worship God is in the spirit. If we try to worship God in the soul and in the physical body, we just haven't a form of godliness, and we are denying the power of the Lord. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And now we're getting ready to take the turn to part three of the teaching. And we have to go into our spirits, our spirit man, and we will show that as Jesus is, so are you. That's in the spirit. And let me add this. When we mature and start reading the word of God and receiving the word of God, we will find out that over 90% of scripture only speaks to our spirit man. In that revelation that it speaks to our spirit, it's part of working out. We have to take it to our carnal minds. And we have to renew our carnal minds to agree with that spiritual revelation, spiritual truth, revelation knowledge that has been revealed to us through the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Let's go 1 John chapter number 4, verse 17 and 18.
1 John 4, starting in 17. And it says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But Amen. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Perfect love. That's the fruit of the Spirit that's on the inside of us. That's the agape. And that love loves us in spite of us. And that love tells us, I love you, and there is nothing you can do to stop me. I love you, and no matter what you do or say, I'm going to stay with you, and I'm going to continue to love. Release my love on the inside of you. And then it said, as Jesus is right now. It didn't say when we get to heaven. So are you right now. That's in the spirit. Just like Jesus right now. And it said in this world. So it's not speaking to later on when you go to heaven. Speaking to believers right now in this world, we are just like Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And we need to say that I'm not God and you're not God. If any man said they're God, they're not. If any woman said they're God, they're not. There's only one true living God. And he's the God of all creation. He's the God of the six-day creation, and he rests on the seventh day. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Paul called him the Father and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory. Amen. He's the only God, and he is the God that we serve, and no one can replace him and remove him as God, because he is the Alpha, he is the Omega, and he's everything in between. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's the first, he's the last. He is El Elyon, the Most High God. In him do we put our trust. Colossians chapter number 2, verse 9.
Colossians 2, verse 9. And it says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form.
Amen. And now Christ is in us. and the fullness and the deity of the Godhead means that all three manifestations are in Christ: God Father, God Son, and God Holy Ghost. So since Christ is in us, God Father, God Son, and God Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of us. What a covenant that we have with our God. John chapter number 14, verse 6.
John 14, 6, and it says, and it reads this way. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Amen. So Jesus is living on the inside of us, and he's constantly taking us to the Father. He's constantly taking us to the presence of the Father. He's constantly taking us down the way of the Father. He's constantly releasing the truth of the Father. He is constantly doing the will of the Father in us and through us with no help from us. All we do is obey him and give him our will.
Brother Harold, I think this is a beautiful opportunity to rest and allow someone who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin, because you stopping here and just really reflecting on this verse, 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And I just believe that we could rest here for a prayer of salvation for someone to extend their hands and their heart to him, that they will not go to hell when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So I think we could pray for someone that may be listening today that just may not know him and want to know him, that they come to know him in the pardoning of his sins. So if you want to pray a prayer of salvation, if you could, Brother Harold, that would be beautiful right now.
Amen. I agree. Mm-hmm. And I feel the Holy Spirit tugging on hearts.
Amen.
And I feel hearts want to be open, and some that are open to receive. And God has made the way through Jesus, and he made it easy for us. All we have to do is confess, believe, and we receive, and God will accept us into his kingdom. So all you have to do is just pray a simple prayer, and I lead you into that prayer, and you just repeat after me. Say, "Father, I realize that I am a sinner. Father, I realize against you and you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight. Father, I believe that Jesus is Lord. Father, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. Father, right now, I open my heart and I invite Jesus to come into my heart and become my Lord and my Savior. Father, thank you for saving me and making a way for me through Jesus Christ, who's now my Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, this has been a wonderful journey through the scriptures and just going back and looking again. So as you have extended your heart and exalted the Lord Jesus through a hand clap of praise for your newborn again spirit, I pray that you seek out a Bible teaching church and that you would be baptized by submersion and come up singing, "Hallelujah, I am a Christ follower." I tell you, it's just a beautiful time for you to rejoice, and the angels are rejoicing because you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Seek out a Bible teaching church and seek out a small group Bible study or a discipleship class, maybe a Sunday school class that will disciple you so that you can continue to grow and go in grace. And tell somebody about your testimony. Tell them that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And hallelujah. And welcome to the family. So, Brother Harold, we are going to continue for about a few more minutes, and we will pick back up on this lesson on next week as we continue to journey through this point. As Jesus is, so are we. So you want to say a few more verses and to shine, shed light and unpack, then we'll do that for the next few moments.
Okay, well, let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 17.
1 Corinthians 6, 17. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit.
Amen. We are one with Jesus. First of all, we are joined with Jesus in the spirit. We are united with Jesus in the spirit. And we are one. Our spirits are one with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit and our spirit intermingle, and the two spirits became one, creating a brand new life on the inside of us. We are married in the spirit to the spirit of the living God, and now we have a new life. And that life do not come out of our understanding. That's why the word of God say, lean not to your understanding. And it doesn't come from our physical body, but that life comes from the innermost part of our being. That life, that beautiful life, as Jesus is, so are we. Right now, in this world, we are ounce for ounce. If there's molecules in the spirit realm, we are molecule to molecule. If there are atoms in the spirit realm, we are atom to atom like Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is driving this train on the journey. And he's flying this plane on the journey. And we're sitting in first class. Glory to God. We're sitting in the chauffeur seat. Hallelujah. Amen, because there's a destination that God has planned for. The word of God says that I know the plan that I have for you. Amen. It's a good plan, and there's a perfected end to it. There were times in my life I thought I knew my own plan. And I'll tell you, that plan didn't work. That plan led to destruction. But when I came to the end of myself, and I realized by scripture, God, you're the only one that knows this plan. And you're the only one that can reveal this plan to me. So I come to you, Lord, and I surrender and allow you to reveal the plan you have for my life. Colossians, chapter number 3, verse 3 and 4.
Colossians 3, 3 and 4. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
And I like the emphasis on that. You say, when Christ, who is your life. Amen. Christ has become our life. And our life is hidden in him. If we could use our carnal eyes and see in the spirit realm and see that life, even though it's two lives, we only see one. We only see the life of Christ. Because our life is in him and it's hidden. That's how close Christ has came to us. And that's how close he's walking to us. And as we stay on the journey of renewing the mind and keeping the flesh in subjection, we're going to meet Christ when he show up to return. And we're going to be just like him. That's when our minds are fully going to mature and we're going to know all things. That's when that corruptible body puts on incorruptible. And that's when mortal put on immortality. And we're going to be just like our King, our Master, our Lord, and our Savior, and we will be with him in eternity, forever and ever and ever. Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20.
Galatians 2, 20. And it reads this way. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen. And when we join with Christ, our flesh joined with his death, and we're crucified with him. But then we begin to live with him because our spirit joined with his resurrection. And it's Christ that's living in us. We in there. Our life, our new life is in there. But it's Christ living his life through us. And Christ's life was to be about his Father's business. And that's what he lived through us, his Father's business. And somebody asked him, what is the Father's business? And he said, the Father's business is to destroy the works of the devil. And Christ is living in us to destroy the works of the devil. And I thank God that God is glorified tonight. And I thank God that His Spirit is alive and well and moving tonight. And I thank the Lord that this new life is in the atmosphere. Man, this new life, this kingdom life, amen, is penetrating our hearts and our minds and our souls. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord that we'll never be the same, that we'll walk in the newness that He has given us. And we got Colossians chapter number 1, verse 27.
Colossians 1, 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. And now, the Christ that's on the inside of us, that's our hope. He's our hope. We have a living hope. We don't have to put our hope in this world system. We don't have to put our hope in man. We don't have to put our hope in our jobs. We thank God for our jobs. We don't have to put our hope in our education. We thank God for our education. But the Christ in us is a hope. And we have a living hope in Him. And we have a victorious hope in Him. And we can rejoice. And we can give Him all the glory and praise, no matter what we have to go through in this day, in this hour. And our last scripture is Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 20.
Ephesians 3:20 says, now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us.
Amen. And that is what Christ is doing in us. I like the word she used, immeasurably more. You can't even measure what He's doing. And it's by His Spirit working in us. And that's what we get the term for. God is doing a work in us and through us with no help from us. All He needs is for us to surrender and our obedience unto His will. And I just pray tonight that the eyes of your understanding was open and that you could see that Christ is in you, living His life in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are one with Him. And you are one with His Spirit. And as He is, so are you right now in this world. We give God the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Harold, for being such a faithful, and a obedient vessel of God, to bring this wonderful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. So So this brings us to the end of this broadcast, and I just want you to always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, they fade away, but the Word of God remains forever and ever. Thank you again, Brother Harold, and thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. And I pray that your days to come will be full of blessings and prosperity. In the name of Jesus, God bless.